Hello,
The
everybody,
following
and welcome
content
to
is
the
about content
commentary
contained
for
and
the
spoils subject
mid-season
matter.
finale for The
Listener
Kingery,
discretion is
Season
advised.
13, Episode 6. All your base are belong to us, and I do love a good old meme. That just makes me very happy. With us for this episode is Assistant Director Caitlin Kleiman.
Hi.
And the writer of this episode, Kat Pride.
Hello.
And Adam Blanford also helped direct on this, but he couldn't make it tonight. But you heard him last month, and you know he was fabulous, and he did a fabulous job this month. So you know, this'll work. All right, so go ahead.
I was just gonna say, Adam's in our hearts. It's fine.
Yes, we love you.
Yeah, always.
Here. That's okay.
He lives in Colorado. We were
wasn't
really
ever
jealous of him.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, spiritually.
Yes.
I mean, he also plays Mac over on Genesis Avalon. So he's always in my heart.
Well, yeah, he's
writing Mac.
He's Mask on here, so
yes,
you know
exactly.
We get plenty of him. Just we haven't had a lot of him this season, other than the credits.
I'm here. What's so fucking important?
All right, so we are starting in a post-apocalyptic techno base.
Yes.
And as always, Allison has no idea what she has just woken up into. We're having fun here with the usual suspects, or the suspects that are left anyway.
For obvious reasons, I always love writing Tithia episodes. Yeah. We know this. But I liked that, you know, the way that we structured this season, there's a lot of opportunities for us to hone in on certain characters and kind of not play with them for a few episodes. So
right.
I was very much looking forward to getting to do like what if Terminator but with the ESI scripts,
right,
and then also all this other fun stuff. So I had a lot of fun like watching a bunch of all of my favorite 80s like cyberpunk and post-apocalyptic
yeah.
stuff and
love that.
And basically just pulled all of my favorite quirky bits from all those things. Writing the ESI squids was a lot of fun because I was basically like, I need to channel Tilly and Susan's sense of humor,
yes,
which is very difficult. That's not my sense of humor. Like I can write it sometimes, but they're very offbeat. So this was a lot of fun.
And Rachel, just as always,
yes,
is just right up in there.
Calamari Robofux is one of my favorite lines.
That's
I've ever
a good
creator.
One. That's a very good one. I
yeah,
love it. I love that she's got the big fuck off rifle.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. For those of you who don't get to see the script, I always try to have fun with my
yes.
special effects directions. So
we appreciate it.
It's a lot of fun stuff like that.
Whoa! Bigger boom.
And then we blowed it up.
Yeah. Major went to pieces. That
yes.
happens. That's happened to a lot of people this season. They've had
yeah,
we've,
yeah.
we've had our fun kill everybody moments in this
yes.
season. So, you know.
Stop.
You can't move. Yeah, it was fun. Everybody got a chance this season to do something a little different because
right.
you get to kind of do the paths not taken.
Right.
I really like not, you know, not just as an actor, but as a writer, getting to give Tithia like this really tough edge this time
right.
around because like she's gotten the chance to like soften a bit and kind of like learn how to love and move on a bit. But this was like very much like,
and remember,
you know, kind of like that darkest period right before the big time
right.
jump happened a few seasons back. So it's kind of nice to kind of like get to write her super dark and like write Maddie and Allison like this gritty, like in the mines kind of thing. So just a lot of fun stuff.
Right. And Caitlin, I think you did this first season, right? I mean, this first scene?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
It was like season, no, but yes.
Words are hard, okay?
This was really fun to do sound effects for.
Yeah.
You know I like the, like, pew, pew, burp, boop, boop,
boop. And you're really good at them, too.
Yeah.
You're good at blowing shit up. We appreciate that. As we saw last episode, too.
I didn't have anything in my head in particular when I wrote this. Like, I knew sort of, like I was vibing with it, but like, you know, I'm not the director, so I don't know what the kind of soundscape you're going to come up with. And this was a really awesome soundscape.
Yeah.
Like both, like,
yeah.
I did not expect it. And I really loved it. like the fact that like all of the squids are very like radio staticky super worked for me.
The little janky.
Yes.
And that's quite all right. Now this one, we're in the mines of menial manual labor. Grid 52 if you're keeping track at home.
Again, there's so much random stuff in my special effects cues that don't actually like make a difference, but they're fun for me.
Yeah, when I've written for seminar, I've had the same thing. Just randomly surprise. Yeah. You know. It makes your director's day when they get those little things.
You know, I figure if I'm oddly specific, then you'll have fun building to something oddly specific.
Because if there's one thing that I learned from Mystery Science Theater and Riff Tracks, sometimes the more specific you can get, the better.
That is so true.
Because maybe not everybody will get it, but the right people will get it.
Yes. I mean, I can definitely say that a lot of the humor that I was able to pull off in this is very much like a Tom or a Crow joke from MST3K. So, yeah. I'm a huge MST3K fan as well. Jillian and I have talked about that for a long time. We've both bonded over that. So, thank you for reminding me of that. Now I'm going to want to make Menards and Piggly Wiggly jokes all night. Thank you.
Go Packers. Great. Yeah, so we've got the story here of what's happened and what kind of world we're into this time. And the squids won. That's bad, right? And then this with the squid people, squid versions of our dear friends.
Yeah, and I have to thank the godparents of video gaming. This totally came out of I was watching old Half-Life videos, and I was like, head crabs, but ESI squids.
Yes.
And then I was like, what would that work? And I was like, oh, that actually sounds like a lot of fun. I think that's what I want to do with that.
Yeah. Where the fuck is the rest of my sister's head? So it's like, you know, they've gotten the very low haircut there.
Yes. Yeah. The very low haircut. Exactly.
Love it.
Which I gotta give Chris credit, because Chris Bays, obviously being my partner in life and crime, walked out of the booth that we record from and looked over at me and went, what in the hell am I saying? And I was like, all right, hang on, I'll come in there and direct.
He's speaking squid speak.
Yeah.
Just a shithole cave in the side of a shithole mine?
Yes, pretty much.
Remind me not to show you the last radiation. God, I love writing Allison. Let's just
say if right? either of us ever this, the snark is so just fun. There, and Melissa does a fabulous job of delivering it. Even without the squid. And this scene, Adam did. And yeah, he did a phenomenal job here as things quickly fall apart.
That's like, geez, do you think I gave him enough to do? Man.
You're here, Doc.
Hey, holy Briggs. Shit, am I glad to see you. Never to drink with you. Finally, someone normal.
Nightmare robo apocalypse again. Oh, believe me, I'm ready.
Yeah, they were drinking it. They went off to drink at the end of last episode, so yeah.
When did you even have time to drink?
Which I sort of love that Allison definitely went and got so drunk. Seeing as how and then the timeline changed and she just fell off of something.
Right?
Passed right out.
Yeah, it's very quantum leap. Oh boy.
Oh yeah.
Seth, Dawkins, Aaron, like pretty much every last.
You know, everybody that Kat was supposed to have in the script that she just hadn't brought in yet. Where's that list?
You know.
No one's been here all day.
It's okay. We don't need to see too much of them. We just need to see enough of them to squick everybody out.
Flocks? Yes. Oh no! Don't say they flock.
Don't say they flock.
I don't. About that. Who the fuck cares what you call them?
More like a herd or a
I had a lot of fun trying to figure that one out, yeah.
A murder of squids?
Again, I did not expect this to sound as fun as it does. Like, it's still menacing, and that's like, you know, because the actors are doing such a great job, like, playing it serious, but like, in my head, I was like, I don't know if this is gonna work for me.
Cute scary is sometimes worse than normal scary.
Yeah, it hits that like uncanny valley, that like the checky thing.
What the fuck did you do? What did I do?
Oh,
what did I do?
I had so much fun reading, like reading these as an actor.
I trusted you.
And yeah, this as much as has happened to Tithia over 13 seasons, it's amazing this hasn't happened in the sacred timeline.
Yeah. Well, and that was one fun thing as a you know, fun challenge as a writer is like, you know, all the outline said was like, here's the basis of the universe that Allison jumps into. Here's what the timeline does. And Tilly's outline, our outline this year, Tilly gave us a lot of freedom to play, you know, with whatever the hell we wanted. And I was like, for me, the thing that would be the most interesting is, you know, Tithia is the character that has most interest in artificial intelligence and straddling that line between technology and organic life. And
you told me you'd.
I kind of just had to sit there and think with it and go real far back and think like in Tithia's timeline, what were her darkest moments? And one of the things that I know Tilly's always, you know, kept at the forefront of the character is that Tithia has tried to bring back her family every time she possibly can. And I thought, well, that's the clear point then. This is all about Tithia trying to bring back Hebe, because that's what our arc is so far right now. But it was nice because I got to play with parts of Tithia's current emotional state that she's keeping buried because she's trying to focus on Pallas or Hebe or someone else. And for the whatever reason, the way our storylines have run, Allison and Tithia have not had a whole lot of opportunity to be together and to talk like family again. And so I really kind of like getting the opportunity to sort of have Tithia say sort of those dark things that you wish you could say when you're feeling your worst and you want to really hurt someone, to kind of make Allison go, oh shit, I've not been paying attention and this kid's probably not doing it. I should probably check on Tithia afterwards, actually.
It's always awkward with this sort of thing.
Also, the in the swarm line is 100% because anyone who knows me knows I'm a Starcraft geek. So that was my shout out to the Zerg.
That's a devil's bargain.
Not from where I'm standing. And coming up here, we've gone completely into Barty horror with PB, I guess we'll call it.
Yeah, that's good. I like that PB. Yeah.
The fuck do you mean? And Pallas.
Tithia made a very valuable point. Just because we can kill.
Which, you know, that was a hard direction to give. Like, I need you to play Hebe, but you're Pallas. Like, have fun.
Yeah. But she nailed it.
Oh, yeah.
In Pallas's head. And you're okay with that?
Well.
Round us, boss. What the fuck else is there?
What the fuck else is there is like. Right. Fuck it. I've wanted to say that so many times in my life, and it's just it's nice to finally say it out loud.
Yeah. I fucking trusted you for the wrong reasons.
Use those emotions. Let the hate flow through you.
Oh. This episode got really personal for me in other ways, too. In the later scenes that we'll get to when they get into the time travel shenanigans. I won't go into it now, but I got to touch on a lot of things for the character of Tithia, and then I wound up getting to use it as catharsis for me, the writer. Gotta love that.
Nice.
What'd you do? Where'd they go?
Pocket singularity grenade.
Thank you for figuring out how to do a pocket singularity grenade, because I did not, again, have any clue how all that was going to sound.
That one was all Adam. He put that together. I didn't give him any input other than...
Nice, Adam.
Nice boom. But then silence.
Yeah.
Is everyone dead?
It's kind of like we did last season with the EMP, or two seasons ago.
Yeah.
This reality, I'm very detail oriented like that, so I probably should have checked. But again,
writing Bernice is so fun. Oh my gosh!
They're hilarious.
I did get one. I think I got one note from the team in that one, which was just Bernice doesn't like my first draft. It was like Bernice needs to sound more crazy, and I was like, okay, we'll twist my arm.
Right, you know, but still, they've grown a bit over this whole.
Oh yeah, that
means descent into madness.
Before they changed.
Yes, unfortunately, Asa and I might have been a little too creative in this particular experiment, but better for him to explain.
So thinking about this episode today, I was watching the Year of Hell episodes on Voyager.
Oh yeah,
which I have never really been too deep into Voyager, but this time I'm really getting into it. And the the time travel situation is very similar to Anorax, as he's trying to go back and fix it, go back and fix it. Nope, and he just keeps making it worse and making it worse. And of course, Kurtwood Smith is fabulous anyway. But
let me get back.
Yeah, so that was on my mind as I was watching. I was like, okay, this is exactly what we're doing here. And so
as a Voyager fan, I also definitely caught the similarities of that this year. So that's another reason why I was like, oh cool, we get to spin everybody off to like their darkest versions of themselves, of like, you know, what happens when not everything aligns perfectly.
I'm
there is something very funny about the fact that we accidentally the multiverse at the same time the MCU did, but that's fine.
Everybody's multiversing.
We were planning this first, technically.
I'm sure they lifted it. Letting you experience
all of this out of your own personal timeline. And of course, Asa went to hide in the mines, where if they'd gone deep enough, they would have run into to him.
Yep. Is how some experiments go. Sometimes you hypothesize that a hair growing serum won't grow follicles on the eyeballs. And then I like that there's just awkward silence after that. Like, what? Where did that come from?
Yeah, yeah, because none of them were there for that.
Yep. If you'd kindly fuck
off. What if I don't? Finally, we find Asa kindly about it. Kind of off in his own little oubliette there. Two accidental observers along.
Samantha. Yeah, and me, Asa, you old rat fuck.
Thank you, Melissa.
Do you have any idea?
Yeah, this was awkward enough, but he really put Allison and Doc in a really rough situation.
Yeah.
It's bad enough what he was doing, but that adding it on. Oh, we've been
traveling through time. Yeah, like the hardest part about this is, you know, they didn't know that they were going to get dragged along for the ride. So it's like, oh crap. Allison's had like the worst however many of her life at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we say we've seen five different universes. Who knows how many there actually have been?
Our own timeline. Just fix it.
Exactly.
Because I mean, Asa later says years, I think. Years of this?
Asa definitely talks about it like they've gone through so many universes, so many timelines. He started this track note. It's been like years for him.
I've been in every fucking version of everything I don't want to think about.
Yeah, she has.
Yeah.
So
yeah, being married to Shimizu, working for Fix, working for Jawbone.
Yeah.
Her mom back.
So try.
Yeah, being dead.
Something.
Yep.
Because
that'll ruin your day, definitely.
Exactly.
I can't think that this is what you really wanted.
It's not. I just.
I mean, you kind of feel bad for Asa because he really went into this with the best of intentions, but it just spiraled so far out of control.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I wanted it to feel like, you know, this is just Asa sort of realizing the walls have come down. Yeah, like the walls have come in, they've closed in, and he's now realizing, oh crap, like, I went into this, and every time I try to make it better, it just gets worse. And he's sort of hit that, I have so many things to do, I'm just going to take a nap phase of, like, paralysis.
Right.
And this is sort of what he needs to get, you know, his ass kicked back into gear.
And again, we get the weird glimpse into the prime timeline.
Yeah.
With Pythian Palace
trying to figure out.
And it's always just a little difficult to balance out the Tithia voice mods or Hebe voice mods or whatever with the timey-wimey voice mod that
you do a fantastic job, okay? Because, I can still tell it's Tithia.
Yeah.
But, I was thinking the same thing. I was like, that's not easy.
It's not, but you know, we managed somehow. And this is the Tithia that we've seen for years where she's crying.
Yeah. and this was like, for me, this was very personal this year. My last close living grandparent passed away about 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And so in the last like 6 months of her life, she very much sundown. She would lose track and she would think I was someone else. And so when we talked about the arc that we knew that these sort of temporal rub-ups were going to be doing, I kind of knew where we were going with Tithia and Hebe and Pallas. And I realized I had an opportunity to kind of, not just like have catharsis, but I wanted to kind of help people understand like that you do get through it and that there are, it's really easy to get lost in that, but that at the end of the day, you still had time with them and you still had time to express the love you felt for them, even if they didn't necessarily know it.
Right.
So So I'm like really excited to see where we get to go with Tithia, Pallas, and Hebe in the future. I know where we're headed second half of the season, but even beyond that, obviously, you know, we don't know. So there's tons of potential there, and I think it's a really interesting story that we're going down. So I'm really excited for the audience to actually get to hear it.
Yeah.
Now that we're getting closer and closer to things happening.
Yay. Definitely. I mean, things have been happening, but we're going to go back to.
Yeah. I meant like regarding that specific thing.
And that was the first time Allison and Briggs have actually witnessed the little time quake or whatever we've been calling it.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, yeah. They've been like around it, but not like.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they've both been on the other side of it at some point.
Yeah.
Speaking from this end.
We all lose people.
But yeah, what you're talking about, going through loss like that. My mom, you know, she passed away last year and went through the same thing. My dad's going through the same thing now. And so, yeah, it is a very difficult moment. And, you know, you do have to kind of think of it kind of like this, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, like I'm glad that, I like that I got to build, you know, bring it back to like Allison and Tithia and Briggs, because that's Asa needs to hear it.
Yes.
But it's definitely for Tithia as a character, and I think this episode getting to do that whole what would she do to get people back arc again in this kind of like micro version.
Right.
You know, she's never really moved past losing people.
Yeah.
And she meant it when she said that Hebe was supposed to be different.
Right.
So.
Yeah. The Kingery. All right. So, yeah, that's the episode there as Allison and Briggs walk off, presumably to get sauced again.
Or something.
Or something. And then we've got the teleporter, which takes us into the credits with Adam. So he does make an appearance.
Yay, Adam!
Yeah. So we've made it through the first half of the season. It seemed like it would never end sometimes, but you know, it was an interesting ride. And stay tuned, because we do have a hiatus episode coming out in I think a couple of months. We're not doing a commentary for that, but it will be there. It will be interesting. It'll be confusing, and that's okay, because that's what we do around here.
There's always the best ones are.
but I think you'll enjoy it. I think everybody will enjoy it. So, thank you, Kat, for writing this. And
thank you for having me.
And Caitlin, thank you as always for joining us. And Adam, wherever you are, thank you. Up in the Rocky Mountain High, Colorado there. And until, I guess, the next half of the season's next time we'll be doing a commentary. So until then, I'm Jillian Morgan. See ya.
Bye.